It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 2013. I'm Alex Jones. Strap yourselves in for another original edition of teleprompter-free InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, veterans, beware of a wellness check. The VA is actually coming for your guns. Plus, the NYPD pepper sprays a five-month-old and a two-year-old. Protect and serve? Yeah, whatever. Then, North Korea reopens their mothballed nuclear reactors in a desperate show of force. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Last year, here on InfoWars Nightly News, long before the tragic and very mysterious shootings in Colorado, and then, of course, in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, we were pointing out that you should look for a major anti-gun push domestically coming up after President Obama was reelected, or even if Mitt Romney was elected, because he actually supported restrictions on the Second Amendment as well as governor, because the establishment wants it, and because the United States, or globalist, the U.S. has been captured, bankers want the U.N. treaty put in place to disarm the populations and countries. There's only a few of them in Africa and the Middle East that haven't played ball and basically handed over their national resources to the banking cartel. And so it happened today. U.N. has approved the first global arms treaty, and it's written so that only the West can basically dictate who can have armored vehicles, tanks, helicopters, small arms, from an AK-47 down to a 22 rifle. This allows the UN to selectively, country by country, ban whatever it wants. And if your country has any gun ownership, they can put sanctions on you and even invade you. Of course, the UN is arming itself to the teeth right now, and the United States is buying billions of bullets, and Homeland Security is buying armored vehicles. It's a fifth branch of the military pointed directly at the American people. So they're arming, and the UN's arming, while trying to disarm every other country they don't control and disarming people within those nations. This is what it's all about. The United Nations has been engaged in human rights atrocities that are unrivaled in their scope. Since the late 1940s, they have run massacres and torture operations and giant white slavery sex rings and snuff film operations. I covered it on the radio today. If you don't know about the UN, they have this huge propaganda corps telling you that they're the best thing since sliced bread and basically the second coming of Christ, loving the children. The truth is they go in and murder, slaughter, starve people, and then have Angelina Jolie fly in 6 months later with a starving kid that the UN's starving, and then she feeds them and says, give me some money, I'll feed the kids. And they use the money to go in and enslave the kids. It is incredible. It is pure evil set up to establish world government to carry out eugenics. And we have the New York Times here with some of their disgusting propaganda saying, don't worry, it's no big deal. It's a great thing for America. It won't affect U.S. gun owners. And that actually comes in the article from Thomas M. Countryman, the Assistant Secretary of State, who led the American delegation. And in here he says, don't worry, it affects tanks, armored combat vehicles, large caliber weapons, combat aircraft, attack helicopters, warships, missiles and launchers, small arms, that's handguns, rifles, and light weapons, period. Ammunition exports, you see how they're coming after our ammunition, are subject to the same thing. So it puts it under this treaty. But he goes on to say, don't worry, it doesn't affect U.S. citizens. When Forbes has done the analysis, and so have I, it's pointed right at U.S. citizens. It says the state, the government, can have guns, but you can't. He goes on to say, this treaty will bring much of the rest of the world, not up to the American standards, but much closer to the American standards, he said. In that sense, I believe it levels the playing field and gives American manufacturers a better competitive position in the world. And in a sick way, that's true. He says, don't worry, we're not coming after citizens' guns in the article, which is a total lie. You know, like Obama said when he was a senator, we need to ban all guns. He supported Feinstein, who said, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them in. They staged Fast and Furious to blame the Second Amendment. But now they're telling us, just don't worry about it. Everything's fine, and this is going to actually help American manufacturers. And it's true. The United States has more than 50% of some types of arms sales worldwide, like jets and tanks. It's over 30%, and that's in the article, when it comes to small arms. So they're saying American manufacturers will be able to sell guns to who they say can have guns, whether it's mercenaries or corrupt countries that are working with the West. But remember, it's the globalists that have captured the West who are pulling all the strings. They don't want countries out there that aren't playing ball to be able to protect themselves. So they're selling this like it's good for America, when what they really mean is it's good for globalist weapons manufacturers that are here in the United States. So they're trying to spin the whole thing like it's good for America and good for the world, when it's not. What it is the UN allied with the globalists based in the U.S., England, and Europe, trying to shut weapons off to people they want to be able to go and enslave and kill, with systems like AFRICOM now invading all of Africa. Just simply amazing to see that unfolding. Now, remember, they say in the article, we're not coming after your guns. And don't worry, this treaty doesn't affect your guns. But here it is today, all over the United States, they are calling for mandatory federal and state insurance to buy bullets or own guns. And then once they make you buy it, they can just raise the price until it's cost prohibitive. And obviously, making you get insurance also registers your guns. And look out, we've confirmed all the big insurance companies are saying, hey, we're not going to cover your insurance unless you tell us what guns you have and give us the serial numbers so that they can basically have a list of what needs to be confiscated. And they've done this in other countries. They follow an exact plan. First, they ban semi-autos and high-capacity mags, register all the others, make you register to get ammo, and then they start banning, well, down to even single shot now, they're trying to ban in Australia. And the same thing's been done in over 100 countries. So it's a shake-and-bake operation. The whole thing has been scripted before. Continuing here, San Bernardino and the Inland Empire. This very city is going bankrupt to the globalists by design, signed on to derivatives, all of California, much of Michigan. It's all going bankrupt by design. We're being conquered economically. But California lawmakers in Sacramento want to tax ammunition and, again, make you get liability insurance of $10,000 a year to be able to have ammo. And then all ammo not registered is a felony. So this is how this works. They're making gun owners criminals. And I've got this fella coming on the show tomorrow on the radio show. Veterans' guns confiscated after forced psychiatric evaluation. And this gentleman, and it's in the local news, had no criminal record, honorably discharged, had a concealed carry permit that in his state you had to jump through a bunch of hoops to get. Navy veteran, 50 years old, and the police came, grabbed him, took him to the hospital, and they're now charging him for the two-day stay, and they, the hospital, not a judge or a jury, is adjudicating him as dangerous and saying he can't own his guns. No judge, no jury. And this is the purge against the military. This is what they're going to do because they plan to replace everybody to begin with robots. So why should you be allowed? Oh, yeah, the planes, the submarines, the ships, the ground robots. Within 10 years, MIT, Pentagon, DARPA, none of you will be in combat anymore. None of us will be. Only the nanny state and their floating blimps with microwave guns and 30,000 drones they've already funded with $46 billion. I mean, this is a hellish nightmare future, taking our tax money, our energy, what the West has developed with our scientists is all being put towards a technocratic authoritarian nightmare. All of it is hammered down, being leveraged against us. The establishment has decided the future course of human development, and it looks like something that's a mix between Dr. Strangelove's, Kubrick vision of an apocalyptic world mixed with another film that Kubrick put out, A Clockwork Orange, mixed with equal parts 1984, THX 1138, A Brave New World, and Terminator. I mean, it is just not a future we want to be in. And by the way, it's not a future we are in. The religion of these people is not communism. It's not fascism. It is Luciferian eugenics-based I'm God. That's why we have a report up at Infowars.com right now of Kim Kardashian coming out and reports that she's going to basically name her baby Christ with a K and her husband calling himself God. This is all part of just selling us this complete culture of death. Kim Kardashian naming her new baby after the Illuminati. And again, this is all part of the revelation of the method in our face. Continuing, Connecticut legislature moves to impose severe restrictions on Second Amendment, banning above 10-round mags, registering ammo. There's more than 10 things they're doing. Magazines would be registered to then be confiscated. Penalties for magazines outside the home. Create a dangerous weapons registry. Universal background checks they already have. That means you can't give your guns to your son or daughter. It just goes on and on. While government masses weapons against us at the very, very same time. Meanwhile, the NYPD that will not give visitors directions, I see that in the news all the time, you ask, officer, where's the Metropolitan Museum? Shut up, you don't ask me questions. I've actually seen video of this in other cities where one case was in Portland, Oregon, where they brought their kids to an anti-war protest, and the cops walk over to babies in strollers and spray them in the face. And the woman says, why'd you do that? And the cops say, don't bring your kid to an effing protest. Meanwhile, mother sues NYPD for pepper spraying babies. A mother has sued the Newark Police Department for using pepper spray on her 2-year-old and 5-month-old babies after cops accused her of turnstile jumping. And, oh, yeah, how dare you do that? The aggressiveness of the officer's demeanors has upset the 4-year-old daughter and her mother, who bent down to console and tell her everything will be okay, as they were then pepper sprayed. And that's what corruption is. That's what corrupt government is it is a bunch of gang members right out of Clockwork Orange hired to suppress the public. And they let the criminals out of the jails and make them the police and the security guards, and then the political dissidents are put in slave labor camps producing widgets for the establishment. And, of course, that's in the book, A Clockwork Orange, made into a film by Stanley Kubrick. Where'd they get the idea? Nazi Germany, Communist China, Communist Russia, everywhere where authoritarians take over, whatever flavor it is, they release the prisoners, the hardened rapists and murderers, and make them their enforcers. They're doing that with the U.S. military, hiring all these hardened gang members and felons now, trying to make them cops. And then they argue, well, we've got to hire felons. Everybody's a felon now. But not the felon for marijuana, not the felon for pills, not the felon for nonviolent crimes. The felons they want, you stay in jail if you're nonviolent, are the hardcore killers who will get the job done and follow the orders of the tyrants. But soon there's going to be somebody who'll never be a felon. Combat robots. You know, what's a combat robot? I don't know. Some of the ones they declassified 20 years ago are a remote control tank that can now be self-autonomous that pulls up at your house and puts nerve gas into your home or CS gas or opens fire with a Gatling gun or who disgorges thousands of little robots that go into your house and explode. This is what they're developing. Robot dogs, you name it. And they admit it will be to oppress us. So we've given up control of our own development to a bunch of crazy technocrats. Continuing here tonight with the news, speaking of technocrats, America and Europe have been so free the last few hundred years compared to Asia, Mesoamerica, Latin America, and Africa, and other areas, because the revolutions of modern freedom came out of those zones, they had been very barbarous, that we produced incredible science and wealth. But now, look out, because that science and wealth has been hijacked by the globalist and is building a system of total oppression. Take North Korea. They were oppressed before the Japanese invaded the entire Korean Peninsula. And leaving that oppression, they went to North Korean oppression. And so because they've always been oppressed, the people are kept at a subsistence level like animals, and only a few cities have electricity. and the government cannot even produce automobiles. And China keeps them on a short leash and barely gives them any weapons or anything. But meanwhile, the UN approved the head of ABB, Donald Rumsfeld, in the mid-90s, to transfer reactors that can make fissile material for atomic warheads. And then Laura Allen Hughes to the Chinese, and Clinton, bipartisan, allowed missiles to be transferred to them so they could be the possible detonator in the future to start World War III. And that brings us to North Korea says it will restart its reactor. And this is only so the government can get billions of bushels of wheat and millions of barrels of oil to then sell to China. So that the top 1% of the communist hereditary dictators can eat the finest Colby beef and have American and Japanese film stars be brought in for sex parties. Oh, yeah, it isn't just Dennis Rodman that went there. Kim Jong-un and his father had a seven-story, and still do, pleasure palace where B-grade and C-grade stars go and service them for millions of dollars a day. So that they can take food aid from the West and sell it to do that. And the population, what is it, every couple of years, a million people starve to death there. So there's your big government, there's your total state. Now, the problem is they probably won't destroy the world. The problem is that the West took the energy of the Renaissance, the energy of the Enlightenment, and is building a system about 1,000 times more destructive and evil than North Korea. North Korea is a joke unless you're under the gun. Oh, because remember, only the government has the guns in North Korea and China and South Africa and Tunisia and Germany and Britain and Cyprus. Everywhere only the government has the guns. You see government troops there guarding the banks while the globalists, private people, suck pensioners' accounts dry. People that were janitors for 40 years are having their life savings taken. Just 2 weeks ago, they took 10%. They were able to get away with it. They took 40 last week. Now they're looking at taking everyone's money. While hundreds and hundreds of elitists, including the president of Cyprus, took billions of dollars out. Oh, but it's the government. Comply. Only they have the guns. That's right. America's got a long, wicked history. But compared to other countries, it hasn't. Because the people had guns. The first thing that freed slaves and sharecroppers, they weren't allowed to own guns when they were under their sharecropping or indentured servitude contract. The first thing they'd try to go do would be to get a rifle or a handgun to protect themselves so they could walk down the road without, you know, having somebody basically re-enslave them and drag them off to their plantation. And the first gun laws, as you know, were at the end of the Civil War against black Americans. They'd had previous ones against sharecroppers in the North. And now the government's saying it's a civil right to have your guns taken. Let me tell you something. Remember, you were warned. When they take your guns, they're going to take your bank accounts, your pensions. They've already shipped most of your jobs overseas. They're going to take your whole American dream, and they're going to use total bondage and total poverty like Mexico does and every other third world despotic system as a tool of control. Tyrants don't just create squalor by accident. They want it to control you. Now in other news. Now, you'll remember last night on InfoWars Nightly News, we covered the fact that the communist Chinese, the greatest mass murderers in world history, feeding on their people at a level conservatively hundreds of times worse than what's happening in North Korea, and fully backed up by Western governments and media who are heavily invested there in what can only be called the greatest example of human slavery in history. Now the communist Chinese have demanded that the movie and the trailer, just like they did with Red Dawn, the remake, not show any type of outbreak in China. Of course, the book starts with an outbreak in China with the zombies and a global pandemic crisis that brings in the world government. And you know why China doesn't want that? Because China is now the dumping ground of toxic waste worldwide, and China is being used to leverage out jobs everywhere, and they have suicide nets around the Apple factories. I mean, it is a hellhole where the kids are chained up by the millions every day on anything they can tie them up to, light poles, cyclone fences, while the parents go into work 18 hours on average to get enough food to go feed their baby outside chained up. And don't worry, Foxconn's replacing all the humans with robots now. So this is a huge pro-UN propaganda film. We were just analyzing and critiquing the trailer there. And now this foreign power is telling us what we can and can't have in our media. I mean, if our government was manipulating media, that's a huge red alert, total tyranny. But now they admit, even in the LA Times, the communist Chinese are dictating and demanding Americans have their guns taken in the People's Daily, the official Communist Party publication, saying, we own your debt, America, which the globalists maneuvered us into. We own your debt, so you will turn in your guns. We own you, like they own the poor Chinese slaves. Well, you know what? I stand with the Chinese people. Over 7,000 riots a week against the corruption of the imperious government, where only the government has the gun. As Mao said, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. I stand with the people of China and free people everywhere to expose how China and other countries like Mexico are used by Western governments in true civil rights abuse to dump the toxic waste. So let's go over why China doesn't want to be criticized as a dumping ground. Their rivers every day set on fire with all the toxic waste being dumped in them. Look at this article. New bird flu virus kills two in China, sparking World Health Organization probe. The UN probably released it. China hit by animal apocalypse as mass die-offs continue in ultra-polluted nation. That's a natural news article up at Infowars.com. But look over here. We've got the article. Is this a pandemic being born? Is this, and they've got ducks, cows, pigs, all dying en masse all over the country because things are so incredibly polluted. And guess where the trade winds go into the jet stream? From China, they dump right over the Midwest of the U.S. That's where your real allergies are coming from, amongst other things. That, and the EPA will test the air and say, lead and mercury is in the air, and they'll go shut down a power plant that only puts out carbon dioxide and water vapor that gives us power. Totally clean. When they know full well, this is a big point here, folks, that it's Chinese coal plants with no scrubbers, just burning straight, spewing dirty coal straight into the atmosphere. Nickel, mercury, lead, arsenic. That's only part of it. Now, by the grace of God, most of it rains down on China. It doesn't get up into the jet stream. And I'm sad for their people. But let me tell you, if it did get up all the way into the jet stream, we would be having mass die-offs, and we are seeing in insects and birds. So I call for real environmental protection in China. Heavy scrubbers, triple-level scrubbers like we have here. Oh, but that's not going to happen. The globalists have their investments in China. This is economic warfare. China has a 15%, 10% growth rate every year on average. We have a 3% with inflation. It's actually zero. We're being shut down. See, all the Chinese systems having no health care, no daycare, no regulations, no nothing, and GMO, you name it, chemical, you name it, doesn't just allow us to not compete because we're tied down by all the regulation. But it also completely deindustrializes this nation while annihilating the Chinese people. And the globalists have this attitude of, well, there's too many of them. This will reduce their number. We've got to get rid of them one way or another. I mean, they have thousands of mass suicides a day at their factories. In fact, type in suicide nets at Foxconn. But that's, and they're getting rid of them with robots. Once the robots, once China has deindustrialized, you're getting the big secrets here. Once China has deindustrialized us, once the globalists have used them as their leverage, once that phase is done and we're under globalist control, there's no industry, no farming, you name it. Most of our drugs are imported over 90% from China. Once all that's done, then they're going to release the bioweapon, wipe out most of the Chinese. That'll make all the white supremacists happy. The globalists really are elitist supremacists. And then they can social engineer us, and then they're going to wipe us out here. This is all a master plan, folks. I have all the numbers lined up, the whole thing broken down. I've told you everything that was going to happen. It's happening. I know their plan. What do we do? We try to not buy from China as much as we can. It's impossible because most stuff comes from China, I understand. We try to buy local. You never hear about fair trade from China because it doesn't exist. You try to support a movement to have things certified by independent groups that were actually helping the Chinese people. Because if we paid them a fair wage, they would become consumers and they would want exotic American goods or European goods or Latin American or African goods. I believe in the rising tide lifting all ships, but the point is the globalists sell you on globalism as a way to empower the third and old world and communist regimes. That, no, no, no. They're driving them to the bottom to pull us to the bottom in a black hole. So that's the basic breakdown on that front. Now, finally, tonight, looking at this issue of China, imagine being Falun Gong practitioners who simply do your own exercises in your own meditation, and you're taken to giant organ rendering farms that makes Cloud Atlas look tame in comparison, you know, some nightmare future where clones are used for body parts. Folks, this is happening now. They have big color brochures we've shown where they grab people and take them to mobile execution vans and cut their organs out on the tarmac and then fly the organs to Japan, where rich Westerners go to have the organs put in. And so communist Chinese hospitals have advertised the last decade, hey, well, they're fresher if you get them here. We kill the person right next to you. And why don't we show people mobile execution vans? Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, this is stuff that is just so incredible. And while they're trying to get us to focus on past human rights abuses, which are important, they're only doing that, though, to distract us from the current stuff that's going on. While we're all busy fighting with each other over black, white, Hispanic, Asian, the globalists are replacing the Chinese with robots. And while we're busy fighting over all this, $85 billion a month of U.S. taxpayer money goes to foreign, private, no narcotics trafficking megabanks. I mean, we are absolutely wide open. We are absolutely wide open where the cosmetics that most women have injected into their lips, the collagen, the finer powders that's come out, it is the skin of executed Chinese prisoners. But forget that. They're now killing up to two-year-old babies already born in China and keeping them fresh. They actually take the kids and keep them fresh until they are exsanguinated and everything sucked out of them to have the newest live fat to be injected into the women and men. The metrosexual men out there. And you can pull that up for yourself. That's why the Journal of Bioethics is calling for killing U.S. babies up to age 3. This is all part of, hey, I'm a winner. I'm going to live off other people's body parts. That's how they sell it. That's how slavery has always worked, ladies and gentlemen. And if you go back to slavery with the Arab slave trade, the transatlantic slave trade, and then Westerners getting involved in slave trade, the people on the ships, if you read the real naval logs, they were slaves. Most of the crew had been knocked on the head in farmland of Wales, Scotland, you name it, Ireland. They like to grab kids because they could be reeducated at age 10, 11, 12, put on ships as slaves. It's called press gangs. And sent out on five-year missions, which almost no one made it back from. That's why piracy was so incredible, because most people ended up dying, to go to the West Coast and pick up slaves. So they were slaves, picking up the slaves as well. See, they don't want us having that unity of all of us having slavery in our past. They want to make it selective so that we're all at each other's throats so we can't recognize the new mega slavery that's coming down on us. But yeah, type in mobile execution vans in China or execution vans China and show people men, women, and children being walked on to the vans to be executed. And meanwhile, former Vogue editor reveals models are eating tissues to stay thin. And does that look like what men want? You know, one thing about what the aggregates show you from the porn industry, because I read the trade publications, Wall Street Journal report on it, is that it's women that are healthy and that women that have curves. You know, Marilyn Monroe, she'd be considered a beast today. Why do they sell that heroin chic? To make every woman feel inadequate, so you feel insecure, so you buy their products. I mean, that looks like a concentration camp victim. I don't see Nazi, you know, murder reels and get physically aroused, folks. I mean, this is sick. This is the sick culture of the men that run the fashion industry, who know that if they can make women feel ugly, that they will then buy their products. I mean, if the normal women look voluptuous and beautiful, you don't want that. So you show them an issue. I mean, go to drudgereport.com. Show that photo they had of the actual actress, the actual performer, the model, where it shows her thinking she's beautiful. She looks like she's in Dachau. I mean, she looks like she's in Auschwitz. She looks like she's in a Soviet gulag. Now, there it is. Look at that. Look at that. Good job, guys, Lifetime doing this site. I mean, that looks like hell. And I go to the hike and bike trail, and I see women. You can tell they're beautiful women who look like that. And I want to say, hey, lady. I saw Ann Coulter once coming into the RNC, and she looked like that. I mean, I was like, whoa, I thought it was a zombie. I was like, what the hell? I had a recoil. Whoa, I mean, I'm serious. I was sitting there with the crew. They saw it. I was like, whoa. I kind of, whoa. She was wearing like this evening dress, like a vampire, all silk. They made it even scarier with like weird makeup on her. She's like, I mean, I was like, I actually jumped back. No, people saw that. Kevin Booth was like, whoa, what the hell? I mean, you know, we'll see a woman and go, oh, hey, look, there's a pretty woman. And like, ah. So the point is that is sickness right there. Okay? I mean, listen, you women out there are not empowered because you're only thinking about yourself. Same thing with men. If you worried about other people and actually really try to get to the heart of things and help people and help yourself and help your community, you would be empowered. That's what humans are supposed to do, is build a healthy tribe, a good system, to train others, to build others up in the knowledge you've gained. Humanity, civilization is about advancing and training people and building people and showing them their own creativity. And renaissance. It's not about destroying, dominating, keeping knowledge to yourself. And then people are so decadent, there are billions of hungry children in the world, worldwide. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of millions that are near starvation. 15 million children starve to death every year. Another 18 million adults, roughly. And the UN, under State Department Memorandum 200, look it up, I'm giving you facts here. They make sure as many die as possibly can. And you go, well, you know, they're living in squalor because their industry's been cut off. If we would have industrialized them, they would have only had 2.2 kids on average or less, and we would have built a sustainable real world. When you hear sustainability, folks, it's a counterfeit of real sustainability. It's eugenics-based systems of total domination. And so to all the women out there, you know, women freak out when they get old. Men get freaked out when they get old, whatever. You're not going to be empowered being self-centered freaks who starve yourselves. You're going to be empowered thinking about two-year-old Chinese children chained up outside slave factories. Why aren't we demanding Apple pay people enough? I mean, they talk about if an iPad cost $2 more, it would raise the standard of living of their hundreds of thousands of employees or subcontractors several 100%. But Apple doesn't give a damn. They're a bunch of eugenicists, fake liberals. They're like, we're going to kill all those Chinese soon with bioweapons. Of course their kids are chained up by the thousands outside the factory. I mean, this is what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, show Chinese children tied up when their parents are at work. Yeah, there it is. There's a shot out there I haven't seen in a few years where it shows hundreds of them chained up down a road. Type in Chinese children tied up to lamppost. I mean, you know, how could you be sitting there starving yourself because some drug addict guy who has like 500 sexual partners and who's got a bunch of diseases, who's going to be dying soon, and he hates women so much that he puts out an anorexic vision and you all grovel to them so that you can walk on a catwalk and feel like you were empowered? I mean, it's just purely satanic. So that's my point on that front. All right, moving on now to one of our final stories before we go to break. And David Knight's going to come in here and talk to a real whistleblower and someone who's getting things done, exposing government-sponsored terrorism in the U.K. Before we go to that, here with teleprompter free news, Dallas County D.A. Cred Watkins says he's received death threats, and that they now want to have their own, like they're the president, protection detail from whoever is killing DAs and prison wardens and police all over the country. Now, they're saying white supremacists did it because the script is only whites can engage in domestic terrorism. And actually, I've studied the MO. Real white supremacist groups that aren't Fed-run do have a history of killing police. They have a history of killing talk show hosts as well. Okay? So you've got all of that going on. So, but they admit they have no proof, no clues. They're just saying white supremacists and the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, are. I mean, hell, if somebody slips on a banana peel, they say patriots did it, which they then connect to white supremacists. You see all the TV shows and movies pumping that same message out. So there's not unity. So that blacks, Hispanics, Asians, others, and much of this country's, quote, mixed, they're just human beings, but, you know, everybody's got to be in a group, everybody's got to have a name. You can't believe you have a Bill of Rights. You can't believe you have a Constitution. You can't believe you have a right to keep and bear arms. You can't believe you have a right to a family and a right to not be a slave. Oh, no, anybody that talks like that, they must be a racist. Because, you know, the founders weren't perfect in their time. They just created a document that became the pole star or the North Star of people demanding their liberty and their humanity later. They're demonizing it because they're enslaving people worldwide to build the technocracy, the war machine, to then exterminate us. You get that? There's no light at the end of this tunnel. Now, I have to say this because no one is pointing this out. The last few times I saw Texas cops killed and I saw truck bombs go off in Dallas, folks, if a right-winger or a white guy or a black guy, for that matter, truck bombed, they had a truck bomb in Dallas, a big car bomb in a truck. Missile attacks on newspapers in South Texas, kidnappings, mass murder, the Border Patrol being threatened, police being threatened. Let me tell you, folks, there have been more than 5,000 Mexican police killed and military in the last 6 years. Over 60,000 dead now that we know of. They find mass graves all the time. The Mexican drug cartels want women, they just grab them. They want your kids, they grab them. There are four cartels battling with each other, three of them backed by the CIA, over monopoly control of the $500 billion a year. And let me tell you what's happening. The Mexican drug cartels, folks, worship the Grim Reaper. One of the big cartels worships the male Grim Reaper. The others worship the female Grim Reaper. How do you say the skinny one in Spanish? Folks, these people have been in a decade-long war. They are committed to death. And that's your drug war. The only way to all the cowardly police that are part of the fake drug war here in the U.S., you think you're just going to have Mexico implode, bring the drugs through there, have them all kill each other, and then not have it spill over? Ladies and gentlemen, the Mexican drug cartels do not care. Okay? And in fact, I'm not even saying they're good people, but compared to the cowardly globalists that act like they're not drug dealers, they have about 100 times the courage of the CIA drug dealers and all the rest of them that sit here and have all these gullible people not think that the government's behind it. There's a real war down there with real cartels and real killers over who's going to control this, and they're already killing police all over. It's well known that if police don't play ball with the Mexican drug cartels, they're dead. And that's all that's happening. Here, let's pull up the death cult that has swept Mexico. People now pray to the Grim Reaper because Jesus hasn't helped them. They now pray. Type in Mexicans pray to the Grim Reaper. There's more than a dozen Grim Reaper cults, but the Grim Reaper is now more popular than Jesus Christ and Mary in Mexico because death delivers them from the hell they're in. Look at this. Look at this. Punch this up. Punch this up. Mass Grim Reaper worship. Do you think we're going to escape that here in the United States? There are Mexican drug gangs killing people from Indiana to Illinois to New York, and the government won't cover it because they want to keep the borders completely wide open. And more importantly, they want to keep the drugs illegal. Mexico is, their government is on the edge of toppling, even though they're incredibly corrupt, make billions off, you know, billions a week off the drug, $500 billion a year, technically. Billions a week in their cut, they're saying decriminalize drugs. It's the only hope they've got. It will implode. When you take people's economic opportunity away, and the only way they can make money is off an illegal drug cartel, and they've got family back at home that's going to starve to death if they don't come up here and kill cops, folks, they're going to come and they're going to kill you because there's still a warrior spirit in Mexico. Mexico is corrupt. Mexico is out of control. Mexico is under evil influence. But the difference is their men are not drinking sodium fluoride and having their testicles chopped off. Okay? Just like the 1776ers would kill anybody messed with them. The Mexicans are going to come up here in the fluoride head America and they're going to take over the drug cartels, and they're going to take over. So I want to tell the globalist mafia running things out there, you're going to be replaced by the Mexican mafia. and the Mexican La Reconquista crap because you are a bunch of cowards and your police are cowards. I know most of the police, however, are dealing drugs. And you're all going to get killed. You're all going to be shot with your family and have your heads chopped off. I mean, that's just the way it is because you're cowards, because you're scum. You're too busy beating up people on the side of the road and writing tickets to people and taking houses and cars of people that weren't even involved in drugs, like Dallas has been caught doing, putting drugs in people's cars to take their property. Okay? So, it might be white supremacist. I'll say 30% chance it's white supremacist. And maybe they know something we don't know. Okay? White supremacists, again, have their, even though it's a distasteful group, like what's happening in Mexico, they haven't had their huevos rancheros completely separated. They haven't been gelded yet. But I will tell you right now, it's probably Mexican drug cartels because they've covered up the past stuff going on. Okay? So there you go, folks. America, we're going to be cursed just like Mexico. And by the way, praying to the skinny one, praying to the Grim Reaper, singing along to the Blue Oyster Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper, isn't going to deliver us. Liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ is. And if you don't like preaching, that's fine. Go to the skinny one. All she'll give you is death and curses. Ladies and gentlemen, we now take you to our final piece of news tonight. Political correctness gone wild. It was racist when I was against Chinese suicide nets. It was racist when I was against UN operations murdering Africans en masse. No, actually, that wasn't racist. That was globalist operations. That was okay. No. I was racist, ladies and gentlemen, because of this, what you see here on the desk. This is only one part of the set. I bought my son last year because he wanted it. Obviously, because he himself at 10 years old is a demon. My son, in fact, I have to admit it's bad now, he, at the Lego shop, wanted this. And if you read CBS News, Lego to stop production of Star Wars set due to anti-Muslim backlash in Germany last year. The government's investigating. They may arrest Lego executives. Yes, Jabba the Hutt, Luke Skywalker, and the green pig, and the robot. You know, there's also a robot. You see that robot over there? That is not just racist. It's anti-Muslim. Salacious Crumb, the rat that sits on Jabba's tail. Racist. The frogs in the container he eats. Racist. I thought Star Wars was totally politically correct in your face. The opposite of that. But it doesn't matter. They've done the right thing. They have admitted they're racist, and so this will now go up in value massively. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rancor was particularly racist. The Muslim group, the Turkish group in Germany and Austria, here it is right here. The Rancor, ladies and gentlemen, is racist. T-Rex is racist. If you go to a natural history museum, and in fact, I want to say the Natural History Museum of the University of Texas has a T-Rex in it. It looks a little bit like this. It's racist against Muslims. And, folks, if you didn't know it was Muslims, I mean, come on. Everyone knows a green pig. I mean, that's what I think of. And, again, getting away from the sarcasm here, isn't a blonde-haired Luke Skywalker with a chicken leg, I mean, isn't that somehow racist or a turkey leg, I guess? I mean, this is racism, pure and simple. And so, and all right, getting serious for a moment, people say, well, this is ridiculous. It's supposed to be ridiculous. If you use the word homosexual in England, you're arrested. BBC reporters are. It's a scientific word, like heterosexual, homosexual. They want to train you where selectively everything's horrible, and then everything has a secret-coded message to it, except for Africa being invaded by AFRICOM, the UN lining people up and shooting them, running white slavery rings with kids from Europe, Asia, Latin America, and Africa, suicide nets, mass death, mass poisoning, the discrimination of foreign banks robbing us in mass. They don't want you to see any of that. They want you to look for phantoms. I mean, how is this racist? A skeleton. We've all got skeletons, but it's racist. So I want to just say then, fine. If the green pig is racist, the Rancor will now, here. There you go. And he will now eat it. And I promise to get rid of this toy set immediately. In fact, I'm going to burn it. Maybe tomorrow we should burn this on tomorrow's Nightly News with the lasers. Because, oh, my God, I'm a racist. Oh, but wait, what do? I listen to the UN and the media now. They say pay carbon taxes, give up my rights, families are bad, heterosexualism is bad. That's how I prove I'm not racist. And I grow a big beard and mustache and colored socks and dance around and act trendy. And I put makeup on. So that's how I prove I'm not bad. And if I'm a woman, I admit I'm ugly, even though I'm beautiful, and I lose a bunch of weight and eat tissues. That's how I prove I'm not racist as well. I mean, folks, they're feeding us total mental illness. There is nothing to do with Muslims, nothing to do with Arabs in the desert setting of Tatooine. And this is political correctness, not run amok. I mean, you know, first they ban dodgeball, then they ban everything else, you know, playing and jogging at school, because they want you to follow whatever order it is, no matter how ridiculous. Why do they arrest you for a plastic fork or spoon at school? But the school can issue them. Why do they arrest you for a Luden's cough drop that didn't even have drugs in it? Because it's about teaching you you're bad, the government and the media, why they are good. You know, I don't want to burn this with a laser because it's such a collector's item. Let me ask my son who's out there tonight. Son, you want a laser beam this tomorrow? Huh? Oh, he's all thumbs up out there. All right, folks, I've got to end the show. The censors are coming in. I mean, look, green pigs. I just can't get over it. Dungeon doors, that says Muslim. All right, enough of that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you tonight's quote to end this hour-long news portion of the transmission. That's what happens when I come in and do the news. We're getting ready to syndicate the show. It's got to go to 30 minutes. This is going to have to stop. But we can always say, after the news tonight on satellite, tune into PrisonPlanet.tv. And see the overdrive segment. We'll have to do it that way. America wasn't founded so that we could all be better. America was founded so we could all be anything we damn well pleased. P.J. O'Rourke. And I agree with that sentiment, that statement. It was founded so you could be the best you could be, so you could try to live your dream. Not so any of us that are successful could then go take care of other people that aren't, because that doesn't ever empower them, not having competition. That makes people domesticated, which is the globalist plan. And to not domesticate them, to make them into something better, domesticates you so you don't have any fighting instinct, so the technocracy can grow up. To where if they say this is racist, Lego apologizes and says, yeah, a green pig and a black dinosaur or brown dinosaur, that's racist. A white skeleton is racist. All right, well, that's it for the news portion of the transmission. David Knight's chomping at the bit, so he'll be back with us in just a moment, talking to his guest from England with breaking news. For myself and all the InfoWars crew, live free or die, and if you're watching this transmission, remember, you are the resistance.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus, the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro-distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus, get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants.
So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Jakari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water model. And the RAD Eliminator Pro Filtered Sports Bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever popular grab and go bag favorite, the Life Straw. The Crystal Quest Shower Filter System. And the Aquapod Kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at the InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
Well, it's been 11 and a half years since September 11th, but the story is even more relevant today in many ways because we've seen it used to justify wars, we've seen it used to destroy domestic liberties and create a police state, a surveillance state here in America. Well, our next guest is someone who successfully got 9/11 information into a court in the UK for the first time. His name is Tony Rook, and his website is killingantifilms.co.uk. And here to fill us in on the details of that trial and tell us about his next project is Tony Rook. Well, welcome, Tony. Tell us about that trial that just happened there, where you got the evidence put in.
Yeah, the Horsham trial, very interesting. It was an avenue that I discussed very briefly with Tim Spark, who I think was a producer on one of the Loose Change movies, Final Cut, I think. I rang him a few years ago and said, listen, I think there's an opportunity here to get the 9/11 material into a courtroom, because in England, as I'm sure a lot of your viewers will know, we have this ludicrous thing called the TV license, which is £145 a year for the honour of watching the television and being lied to. And I said, well, listen, the BBC has a royal charter and also editorial guidelines, so they do have legal restrictions on what they can and can't say. And obviously after 9/11, lots of things came to light, specifically, which is what we concentrated on with the court case, was World Trade Center 7. I know I'm preaching to the converted here, but really the fact that they broadcast the collapse of that building 23 minutes or so before it occurred, they've never given us the original source for where they got the story. They've since said it was Reuters news agency, but that's not the original source. That's just the agency that provided it. That was the evidence that we really sort of went in on. We didn't concentrate so much on the Twin Towers. We just concentrated on Building 7. And I haven't paid a TV license in this country for some time now, an awfully long time, since around about 2006. Now, that would automatically get a £1,000 fine. And anyway, this guy turned up at my door one day and said, where's your TV license? I said, I don't have one. I gave him one of my cards, which I hand out to people saying, don't pay it, it's treason. And he was slightly intrigued and said to me, well, and I said, the evidence is incontrovertible because of the NIST report and the fact that World Trade Center 7 fell in freefall for 2.25 seconds. He looked completely mystified. And cut a very long story short, David, we ended up in court in Horsham on February the 25th. And so I found myself standing before a district judge who really didn't know what to do with it. I'd brought over witnesses like Niels Harrit, who was one of the sort of pioneering scientists on the thematic materials in the World Trade Center dust, Tony Farrell, former senior police intelligence officer for South Yorkshire Police. I had about six witnesses. Ian Henschel, one of the leading authors on 9/11 in the UK. Adrian Mallett, former firefighter and engineer. Peter Drew, who's coordinated the campaign against the BBC, trying to get them to tell us where they got the information on World Trade Center 7. I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out. Ray Savage, a former anti-terrorist officer in the UK. And we, you know, we had a very good lineup of witnesses, and the judge and 150 people turned up, by the way, to watch the trial.
All right.
And couldn't get into the courtroom because it only accommodated 35 people. And the judge didn't really know what to do with it. His hands were tied. He said, well, listen, I can only deal with the litigation at hand. And that is that you don't have a TV license. I said, well, no, I don't. I'm guilty on that count, sir. But he knew. He'd seen the evidence pre-trial. He has to study it, obviously. I'd submitted an hour-long video on World Trade Center 7 with my evidence, and of course all the eyewitness evidence by people like Craig Bartmer, who was the New York Police Department guy who was next to World Trade Center 7 when it went down, mm-hmm. who'd heard the explosions, etc. So it was, and that's a tiny fraction of it. And he was very, very fair, I have to say. I think he was fair. And he said, listen, I can't deal with that today. I don't have the power to deal with that today. But normally what would happen, David, is that you would be given a £1,000 fine for not having a TV license for as long as I did, which I think was about 2006. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't fined a penny. Not a penny.
That's interesting. And after seeing the evidence, he didn't fine you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just had to pay. You just had to pay court costs. Was the only.
I paid £200 court costs, which was the lowest. I was told by the prosecution, who had seen films that I'd made, which the first film I'd made was called Reasonable Cause, which was really a compilation of people like Dylan Avery and Dave Von Kleist, but it was concentrating on the legislation that we have in the UK on terrorism, which is specifically. In this country, it's called Section 15, Article 3, which if you have reasonable cause to believe that you could be funding the purposes of terrorism, then you don't pay. So that was the legislation I was using going in to argue against the BBC, that I had reasonable cause because of the Building 7 story, not to pay. Mm-hmm. And the judge was evidently swayed. And the prosecutor, I won't mention his name, did actually donate to my costs. So that's usually a good sign, I think.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, even as Alex has pointed out recently, and he started to make an issue out of it, it's become mainstream news that our government not only created Al-Qaeda, but is even running Al-Qaeda. So even if you follow their official story, it looks as if they're funding terrorism. And it's basically reported, but, you know, they don't pay any attention to that. I mean, look at Libya and the other places, they're their agents and those places. But we want to stay on 9/11 because that's where you've been focused for several years. And you've got an interesting project that's coming up. But before we talk about that project, I had seen another documentary that you did about Tony Farrell. Mm-hmm. And he's a police investigator who basically woke up a couple of years ago about this. And Alex has interviewed him. It's an excellent documentary. I'd like to show people a real quick clip of that, just to get a feel for the kind of work that you do, because it's very good quality documentary work that you do, Tony.
Thank you.
I can reflect back now on the moment when it dawned on me, and this was just a very quick realization. Oh my God! And pardon me for blaspheming here. Once that electric light bulb switches on, your whole world changed. Mine did. Because it was almost like instantly I realised that for the best part of 9 years I'd been deluded about 9/11. What told me that something was radically wrong with 9/11 did not come from anything internal in the police information system. On the contrary, it all was available to anybody, any researcher, anybody with an interest who's willing to look at this with an open mind.
So okay. tell me how you found Tony Farrell backstory on this documentary.
I was in a car, and a friend of mine who knew I was interested in 9/11 showed me a cutting from the Sun newspaper, which is a in my opinion, lest we get into legal problems, a despicable rag that we have over here, and it's probably the top selling newspaper in the country, and depicted Tony as this kind of nutty former intelligence officer who'd lost his job because he'd spoken truth to power, if you will, about 9/11. He'd stumbled into some documentaries like Loose Change, In Plain Sight, and films like that, and had been asked to submit what he called a terror threat matrix report. It was his job to assess the terror threat in the constabulary where he worked. That's the police department where he worked, which was South Yorkshire Police. So I don't know if any of your viewers are aware of South Yorkshire Police, but they don't have a very good reputation anymore. They covered up a serious footballing incident in the UK where lots of people died, and they claimed that it was the football supporters' fault, and it wasn't the football supporters' fault, it was the police's fault. Mm-hmm. And that's now big news over here. So anyway, I got in touch with Tony one way or the other, and said, I'm very interested in what you've done. Would you mind if I came up and sort of stayed with you for a while and filmed you and made this little film called Offensive, which I made for about £1,000. That's including the camera and the very cheap sound equipment that I had, and stole lots of other people's fine work to sort of beef the film up. And he's an incredible guy. He's a lovely man, a Christian guy. And he lost everything. He had a 30,000-pound a year job, had been a senior intelligence officer with South Yorkshire Police for well over a decade, and had woken up very, very quickly, as I think the clip you've shown us has told us. And
well, I'm sorry to hear that he's lost his job, but you know, he has his integrity, and you can't put a price on that.
Absolutely.
And he's going to stand, I think, as an example to a lot of people. Now, this next project that you're doing is kind of an extension of that. Is that correct? Or aren't you going to talk to multiple police detectives about 9/11? Or?
Yeah, I mean, for me, David, I think that I'm the son of a former detective sergeant in the UK, and I come from a pretty well policed background. My sister was a police officer, my brother-in-law, and I was going to be one, but I'm very badly colorblind, so I couldn't be. But so when I woke up to 9/11, it's occurred to me in recent years that the public, I don't know. They're still asleep, and really at the end of the day, we really need to wake up the law enforcers and the army and then the air force and the navy, maybe to get their weapons turned around because they're pointed at the wrong people. Mm-hmm. But the police certainly that they need to be aware of the fact that they are working for these people who orchestrate this awful stuff, Operation Northwoods, Operation Gladio, which I know I'm preaching to the converted here, which I did mention in court. And so what I want to do, going back to the court case, is invite a jury, albeit, you know, with no legal powers as such, to review the evidence that we should have shown at Horsham. We weren't allowed to show at Horsham, which is where we had the BBC 9/11 court case. And let them review it, retired police officers. We're going to try and get a few judges as well. And see what they think. See what they think. Let them look at this evidence. Let them look at World Trade Center 7. The free fall, which is listed in the NIST report, as you well know. And see the conclusions they come to, go on.
That's an excellent idea, especially because of the mockumentaries that we've seen come out of the BBC about 9/11, essentially getting straw men, conspiracy theorists that are not quite all together there, not really looking seriously at the questions, the unanswered questions. That's a great idea to get people that the public would trust to thoughtfully examine the evidence as you present it to them, evidence that perhaps they haven't seen, if they're watching mainstream news, the BBC and American media, they would not have seen that. It's a great idea for a film project. Now, you're self-financing this off of your website, is that correct?
Yeah, Killing Auntie Films. Auntie is, I'm going to sound very posh now, it's a metaterial sobriquet. The BBC in England is referred to as Auntie. It's an affectionate title, Auntie Beeb, Auntie BBC.
It made no sense to me whatsoever. Now it makes sense. Okay, no, it's a British perspective.
Dreadfully pretentious, but it's I used to work for the BBC, and I was very proud, David. I was very proud when I got my job with the BBC. It's a good job, and it's a highly thought of institution. Not so much nowadays. They've had a paedophile ring discovered inside.
That's right,
it,
and, with Jimmy Savile, and even some evidence that Scotland Yard was giving celebrity pedophiles a pass and that sort of thing. Yeah. So looks like the corruption at the BBC and Scotland Yard, they've really gotten some black eyes, as they should.
Absolutely, absolutely. They've really let themselves down. I mean, they still make wonderful wildlife programs, et cetera, but the news department certainly and the documentary department has really, like you say, let themselves down. So that's what we're really concentrating on. And, to get this jury together of people to look at the 9/11 evidence, because they have really smeared the 9/11 truth movement so unfairly. Mm-hmm. They've breached every charter that they're meant to have, because they're a publicly funded organization. They're not like, I don't know, ABC or NBC. Not that they are reputable news channels. Don't get me wrong. I've lived in America, but
Right. Yeah. Well, no, they aren't. We don't believe they are. No. It's a great idea, and you know, consider looking at Kickstarter, that sort of thing here in the States. You might find that might be useful for you. I'm real excited to see that. You know, you've got a background in your family of police detective, and one of my favorite documentarians here in the U.S. is Errol Morris, and he did a movie a few years ago, The Thin Blue Line. I think it was one of the first ones that he did. And it was a real groundbreaking film, and it was done so well. He's such a good interrogator, such a good investigator. They actually got the guy that was on death row off of death row. He found the real killer. Yeah. And, you know, it occurred to me when I was thinking about those parallels, that's really what we're doing here. For the last 10 years, we've seen our liberties on death row, and we've been seeing them go one by one with the excuse that they're to blame for 9/11. And we've seen it used as justification for wars. We've seen people really die because of this, foreign wars. And now we see a military buildup here in the United States. I don't know if you're aware of it. We've been covering it on InfoWars, the massive ammunition purchases, the massive purchases of armored personnel carriers, 2,700 of them. So we're seeing the federalization and the militarization of the police. We're seeing them turn into a standing army under the direction of Homeland Security. And the cover story for all of this is 9/11. Yeah, and so we need to find out who the real perpetrators are. And we need to get our people and our liberties off of death row, just like Errol Morris did in Thin Blue Line. Sounds like you've got a great idea to do that. Thanks, Tony, for filling us in on what's going on. Best of luck with your documentary. And if people want to contribute to that, that's killingantifilms.co.uk.
Yeah, killingantifilms, there's a donation page. If anyone wants to chip in, that would be greatly appreciated. It's something that can be copied in any country as well. I mean, we're working closely with architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth in the States and the UK branch as well. And if they want to chip in, please, because we've got to pay for these retired police officers to come down to London, put them up.
Oh, absolutely.
And have a multi-camera shoot as well, because we're going to rent a big venue in London, hopefully get 450, 500 people to watch this thing. But it can be replicated in the US. I know John Meadows is an ex-highway patrol guy that you've got over there, and he's one of the initiators of police for 9/11 Truth. And, you know, let's get this thing rolling, because, you know, police forces can't ignore their own colleagues. I mean, they're not inhuman. They're not robots. We know at the higher levels, the higher echelons, yes, they are corrupt, bent, as we call them in the UK. But to my mind, as a filmmaker and someone comes from a police family, they're human beings, and they could have been, well, I mean, how many people were killed on 9/11, police officers? 60-odd?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And these people, this is creeping fascism, creeping Nazism. Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of it. And please, yeah, if any of your viewers would like to go to Killing Auntie Films and chip in, please do. And you will get a credit on the movie. And anyone who donates $50 gets a free DVD. Free
Great.
DVD. There
Great.
You go. That's
Great.
The pitch. Thank you very much
and
for that, by the way.
And that's .co.uk. It's not .com. It's .co.uk.
I believe it's got it's a UK. I'm just putting Killing Auntie Films on Google. It will come up.
All right.
And thanks very much for giving that a plug.
Super. Best of luck to you. Thank you, Tony.
Give my regards to Mr. Jones. Thank you, David.
Will do. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a very important project. We have 9/11 documentaries on InfoWarsShop.com. It's how we fund our operation. We have a package, Experts Speak Out special. It's got the 9/11 explosive evidence and the Toronto hearings. And don't forget to pick up the new issue of our monthly magazine, Welcome to Planet Hoax. Yeah, it's April, and it came out on April 1st. But, you know, the biggest hoax ever perpetuated on the planet is September 11th. And a great way to wake people up is with that special or with other films that we have on our site. And you can see all the films that we have that Alex has produced if you become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. You can not only give out the nightly news to 10 friends at a time, can watch it simultaneously, but you can also watch all the documentaries that Alex has produced. Well, that's it for the news. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 Eastern.